This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The novel coronavirus's grip on Michigan has loosened in recent weeks. On Tuesday, did you know the state recorded just 199 new cases? As frontline workers emerge from months of almost warlike chaos, clinicians are noticing a massive surge in mental health needs among a traumatized workforce. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells and Bridge Magazine's Kelly House are co-reporting on this, and they're here to tell us what's happening. Kate, Kelly, welcome back to Stateside.
Hey, April.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Kate, I know you've been talking with doctors and nurses about this. What do some of them say they're experiencing?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, you know, kind of that focus and adrenaline of the initial surge are fading, and that is bringing some sense of relief for a lot of them. But a lot of them are also saying that they are experiencing insomnia right now, headaches, intense flashbacks, anxiety, depression, loss of focus. One of the nurses that I talked to, she works the night shift at a COVID unit in a Beaumont hospital. She didn't have permission to talk to the media, so we're just not going to use her name. And she was telling me about this one day where she just crashed and she slept for like 16 hours straight. And she wakes up because her husband is shaking her. And he says, I think you're wrestling with some PTSD, because she had been screaming out in her sleep.
I can't even remember what the dream was about, but it was so real at that moment that he like woke me up, because I guess I was like screaming in my sleep.
And lately, since then, she has been actually struggling with not being able to sleep at all. And that's making it hard for her to focus on her kids. And every time she tries to go to sleep, she says, you know, she just lays there and runs through this loop of anxieties. What if she dies? What if her kids get sick? And the other thing that is really having an impact on her life right now is she's having these flashbacks to when things were really bad at her hospital, and she was the only one in the room with patients when they were dying. You know, she would hold their hands, she would pray with them, she would hold up iPads so they could talk to their families. But she felt like that was the most heartbreaking part for her, and she's really still intensely experiencing that.
That's just awful. Kelly, you've been talking with health systems and experts in the field, and obviously trauma is not a new thing in the medical field. There are people who served in war zones or on relief missions. What are they seeing now that's different in terms of who's seeking help and what they need?
Well, yeah, as you said, trauma is not a new thing. But for many of these people, you know, you think about first responders, doctors, nurses, staff in hospitals, and oftentimes they know what they're going into. It may be a traumatic situation, but they have a sense of what to expect, and they address the issue, you know, an emergency accident on the highway that you're picking up victims from, a surgery that is, you know, really intense, and then they move on. With COVID-19, because it is this prolonged thing that no one has, you know, any experience with and no one expected, what I heard from experts is that it is both this acute and chronic trauma that, you know, hospital workers just have not been used to or trained to deal with. And then on top of this, they're going home to their family and wondering if they'll get them sick. There is no relief in either their professional or personal life, which I think has just made what previously may have been manageable trauma that's part of the job now something that is harder to manage.
I mean, I know a lot of medical professionals really pride themselves as being able to handle it, you know, and just deal with it because it's part of the job.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a field with sort of a culture of stoicism, is what one expert told me. But I think, you know, priding yourselves on handling it, we also have a lot of stats that show there are already high suicide rates, high burnout rates in this profession that likely come from the intensity and the trauma. So this was always there, maybe less understood and spoken about, but the COVID-19 crisis has really brought it to the forefront, and there is a pretty high recognition amongst hospital leaders and, you know, leaders in the frontline fields in general that this trauma is going to be bubbling to the surface and need to be grappled with.
I know that there was a pretty high-profile example of this in New York City in April. There was a doctor who was an emergency department medical director who was treating people at New York Presbyterian Allen who died by suicide. Mm-hmm. Do we know if anything like that has happened here?
There have not been any, you know, publicized cases of suicide stemming from COVID-19 experiences for frontline workers. But The experts we've talked to certainly said they anticipate an uptick in suicide, post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, other mental health conditions among frontline workers. And people who run hotlines and support groups that have sort of cropped up to deal with that trauma tell us that they're already seeing a surge in demand for their services from traumatized frontline workers, even grocery store workers, you know. So this is not limited to hospitals.
What do we know about what is being provided to these workers through their employers right now?
So, you know, it varies a little bit from system to system. Kate and I sort of did a survey of a lot of the bigger systems in the state, and there was everything from hotlines and yoga classes, meditation sessions, Zoom-based, you know, online therapy sessions, because we are still dealing with the era of social distancing, you know, Zen dens where hospital staff can go and sort of take a load off. But hospital systems also sort of recognize that in the past, they have not done a good job, by and large, of addressing worker trauma. Both hospital leaders and doctors and nurses we talked to noted that sometimes it has in the past amounted to, you know, here's a card with a number to call if you're traumatized, or here are ways to practice meditation. That's not going to cut it in a situation like this.
Hey, Kate, I know you talked to a couple of people who are trying to change the mental health response where they work. Can you walk us through the approaches that they're taking?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I mean, you mentioned, Kelly mentioned that like the old way of doing this is not going to cut it this time around. One example of the way people are trying to change that, actually where they themselves work, is over at McLaren Hospital in Flint. There's this clinical health psychologist there. Her name is Nicole Franklin, and she was actually repurposed to the hospital to provide psychological first aid, as she calls it, to frontline workers. And so she could have like given out her card or said, here's the hotline number. But she actually started doing the work that these physicians and nurses were already doing. Like, she started treating COVID patients. She started, you know, doing mental health work right along those doctors and nurses. And it not only got them to trust her, she says, it also got them to the point where when they had a crisis, she was right there. They didn't have to go anywhere. She knew them and she could just respond in the moment on the job.
So that while they were coming out of a room after losing a patient or making a phone call to a family member that was difficult, I was there to provide them with support, techniques, help walk them through that. And when they started realizing the benefit of it, then they began to be more willing to participate.
And so from there, she could kind of be like, hey, you should join the support group, you should see a counselor, et cetera. I want to note, though, that she didn't do this by herself. She teamed up with somebody who had a longstanding relationship with those nurses. Her name's Amy Maya. She's a nurse educator. She says, like, I can look at these nurses and just know, sort of like when your mom looks at you when you're having a hard time. And the two of them would approach people on the job in person. And that is going to be such an important part of this, that you really build this kind of response into the job itself rather than waiting for healthcare workers to come to you. Maya says, though, that, you know, even the people providing this, they're not exempt from this kind of struggle themselves. You know, she lost colleagues to COVID. She hasn't seen her kids in months. She broke down talking about like finally getting to hug them on Mother's Day. And she says, you know, she had to like practice what she was preaching.
Honestly, I sought mental health treatment. I finally broke down and called my doctor and said, listen, I'm going to need a little support through this.
Wow. Kelly, it sounds like whatever effort is put into place to help these workers, it's not just going to be a thing for a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
No, you know, there's a reason they call it post-traumatic stress disorder, and that is that for many of these people, symptoms may not even be showing up now, although we have, as we have heard already, they are for many. But this is something that will linger. It is likely to continue to emerge as people have time to stop and process what just happened in their workplaces and the trauma they just went through. And sort of the overarching message that we heard from mental health experts was this is going to be a long-term need that health systems and other frontline employers need to keep in mind and address. And ultimately, particularly in healthcare where we do have sort of this culture of silence and self-reliance, it's going to require institutional change that breaks through that culture. And hospitals should be thinking about bigger cultural changes that will make their workers feel comfortable acknowledging and seeking help for the trauma that they're experiencing right now.
You know, it almost sounds like some of the things the military has put into place in the wake of the wars of Iraq and Afghanistan. Ladies, thank you very much for your reporting on this. We've been speaking with Bridge Magazine's Kelly House and Kate Wells of Michigan Radio. Thank you both very much for reporting on this. We appreciate it.
Thanks, April.
Thank you.